Wonderful blessing and a wonderful opportunity as a Christian to share your testimony with other people, to encourage them, to help them. And in the Bible, we have lots of testimonies of God's strength and power and direction in the lives of individuals. And one of those individuals we meet in the very beginning of the Bible is a man named Moses. And God used Moses in such a tremendous way. I want us to look at his testimony as we think about facing the unknown in our life. Exodus chapter 3, let's begin our reading together in verse number 7. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. And now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, have sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to study your word and to learn and to grow. And I pray that, Lord, your word would impact our lives in a positive way. I pray, Lord, that you would bind Satan and his demons. I pray your word would fall on good ground, that it would grow in our hearts. And may you be glorified, and may your word be glorified in us this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God wants us in our life to be in a place of peace and blessing. You know, God has not designed the Christian life to be a wandering wilderness. God designed the Christian life to be a conquering Canaan. Now, let me ask you this question this morning. First of all, I hope that you're a Christian. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says that Christ died for you and you could have eternal life. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's the greatest decision that you'll ever make in this life because it impacts your destiny for eternity. But the Bible teaches us that God wants us to live a successful Christian life. And so how would you describe your Christian life this morning? Would you say that you're wandering around, not sure where you are or where you're going? Or maybe this morning you would say, I know who I believe and I'm persuaded that he is able. By the way, the latter is the correct answer. God wants us to live a confident Christian life. And God understands that all of us face challenges in our life. And the devil is there, of course. He's pushing against us, and he's whispering in our ear that there is no hope. And yet, the life of Moses inspires us to continue to move forward and to understand that God wants us to be overcomers by faith. God wants us to find new land, to move forward for his glory. Listen, someone said this, don't let worries get the best of you. Remember that Moses started out as a basket case. That's a true story, all right? God used him in such a fantastic way. And in fact, the Bible says that there was no man that was any meeker than the man Moses. The Bible says in Numbers 12, verse 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Moses was a humble man. But understand this morning, that his humility was not what helped him to overcome the unknown. He was a humble man, but he did not trust in that meekness or that humility. What helped Moses to overcome, and what helps every Christian to overcome, is our faith in God. It was the faith of Moses in Jehovah God that ultimately brought glory to God. The Bible says it this way. If you turn with me to the book of Moses, you find the book of Moses in your Bible, you got the wrong Bible, all right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. Hebrews 11 and verse 24. We'll read a few verses here. And notice the faith of Moses described in this passage of Scripture. Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now listen, we look at the life of Moses, we understand some important truths. First of all, Moses was not a perfect man. He was flesh and blood. He was like you and me. He was a human being. And yet, God still used him greatly to do mighty things. God used him in such an incredible way. And so tonight, I want to encourage you how you can find strength in the unknown. Because listen, beyond this very moment, we step into the unknown. And we don't know what's around the corner. And so how do we live a confident Christian life facing the unknown? Well, I believe the life of Moses and his testimony will help us. So if Moses was talking to us this morning and he was giving to us, of course, through the Word of God, his testimony, I think Moses would tell us, first of all, that when he was worried, God provided power. When he was worried, God provided power. In verse number 3 of Exodus 3, the Bible says, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Now, if you're a Bible student, you would understand that in Exodus chapter 3, we find the pre-incarnate Christ. This would be called a Christophany. This is Jesus Christ before his incarnation, before he came to this earth. And here he appears to Moses in a fire. And of course, Moses is worried about stepping into the unknown and God's purposes for his life. We read in Exodus 3, verse 11, and Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And yet in this great moment in the life of Moses, it really wasn't a question of who am I. But as we step into the unknown, it is always the question, who is God? Who is God in my life, and what can God do to help me? Listen, we need to remember that the successes that come into our life are because of God's grace and God's strength. God is there to help us. And real success lies not in knowing more about us, but real success lies in knowing more about God. By the way, when you know more about God, you quickly learn more about yourself. The Bible says in Matthew 11, verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you," Jesus said, "and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." More about Jesus, the hymn writer said, more about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. And so God reassures Moses and says, first of all, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. Notice what the Bible says here in this passage of scripture in verse 12, God's reply. He says, certainly, I will be with you. There is no greater contentment in our life than to be content with just the presence of the Lord. When he is all we have, we quickly realize he is all we need. And God says to Moses, Moses, listen, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to send you alone into the unknown all by yourself. You're not going to face tomorrow alone. No, I am going to be there. You don't have to fear, Moses. You don't have to worry. And again, God stresses this truth again and again and again. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I will help you, is his reply. We see in verses 14 to 17 that God reveals his name, the name of Jehovah, I am that I am. And really, this is the exclamation mark on the character and the nature of God and his help in Moses' life. Listen, Moses, I am that I am. I am the eternal uncaused cause. I am the eternal self-existent one. I am the creator. I am the sustainer. I will be there. I will help you. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry, Moses. I am that I am. And I'm glad that he is still I am that I am. In this world of uncertainty, where it feels like our world is spinning out of control and people are seeking for this confidence, I'm glad we can trust in God who never changes. He is the provider of strength to the weak. He's the guiding light to those who are lost. He's the loving hand to those who feel unloved. He is the gracious God to those who have strayed. He is the ever-present one to those who feel alone. And God said to Moses, Moses, I am with you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. I am with you, and I am that I am. I am the eternal God. Many of you have heard the story of Joseph Scriven. Joseph Scriven was a missionary from Ireland. He came from Ireland to Canada, and he was a missionary in Canada preaching the gospel. He was joined by his fiance many years after, and they served the Lord in Canada together. And then one day she was killed in a horrific accident, and it's said that Joseph Scriven buried her with his own bare hands and a broken heart. And one day he was writing a letter to his mother, and he was reflecting on what God was doing in his life. And in that letter, he wrote these words, "What a friend we have in Jesus. all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I'm glad we have a friend in Jesus, and I'm glad he's with us, and I'm glad he's the I Am. He can help us and direct us. We see that God said, I'll be with you, Moses, but also we see God's wonders would be seen. In verse number 19 of our text in Exodus chapter 3, the Bible says in 19, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand, and I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. God says, I'm going to show Egypt that I am the true God. I love that. I'm going to show Egypt that I am the mighty God. I will make myself known. By the way, God is in the business of making himself known. He says that the heavens declare the glory of God. God's handiwork, God's glory is on display. Every single day of our life, we see God's power. And friend, listen to me this morning, that peace is not found in the absence of troubles or trials. Peace is found in the very presence of God. And God was there to help them, and God was going to direct them, and we must acknowledge God in our life. The Bible says that we are to trust in God with all of our heart and to lean not on our own understanding, but to acknowledge him, and God will direct our paths. God wants us to acknowledge his presence and his grace and his strength in our life. Remember the story of the disciples? Jesus was in the bottom of the ship sleeping. It wasn't until they acknowledged God that God directed their pathway. And so God is with us. He's always with us. And as Christians, he never forsakes us. But we need to acknowledge God and cry out to God and say, God, I need your help. I need you to direct me. I need you to show me. And then God makes himself known and strong in our life. All right, Moses giving a testimony. I believe number two, he would say, when I was wondering, God provided proof. When I was wondering, God provided proof. Exodus chapter 4, would you turn there with me and notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. The verse number 1 here, Exodus chapter 4, verse number 1. It says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto me. So now we have Moses wondering about this whole situation. And here he uses the word, we notice a contrasting conjunction, but. You know, that sounds like a good plan, God, but that sounds like a wonderful idea, God, but they're not going to listen to me. I understand what you're saying, and I understand who you are, but here's the problem I have with this whole scenario, is that when I approach the people of God, when I approach your people, they're not going to believe what I have to say. And then in verse number 10, here's another excuse why he can't serve the Lord. In verse 10, he says, I am not eloquent. I can't talk properly. I mean, Lord, you can find better people than me. I mean, there has to be someone else that you can use. There has to be another person that would do the job better than me. There's more resumes out there, God. Maybe you need to look through them again. We find in this scripture that Moses is wondering, can God use my life? And I'm glad today that God is not looking for abilities. He's looking for availability. He's looking for someone to say, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, use me. And God doesn't use the equipped. He equips the used. He comes beside us and he gives to us what we need. And so in verse 2 of chapter 4, we notice a simple question. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. Moses, what is in your hand? You know, a lot of people wonder what they can offer God. And we understand from this scripture that God is just looking for what you have. What, Moses, what is in your hand? I love the story of the lad with some fishes and some bread who gave it to Jesus. And one of the disciples said, you know, what are these among so many? But in the hand of the Lord, it can be multiplied and used in an incredible way. And God said to Moses, Moses, what's in your hand? And Moses said, a rod. It's also important to note this morning that that rod was given to Moses by God. Oftentimes we take what's in our hand, we think of our finances, we think of our situation, our talents, our abilities, our blessings, and we think, these are mine. But remember, the earth is the Lord and the fullness of it. And everything that we own all comes from God. He has blessed us. And the Bible says in Exodus 4:20, and Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. He took that rod and he said, you know what, Lord, it now belongs to you. This is your rod. I want you to use it. I want you to bless it. And when we give the bread and the fishes, when we give the resources to God, the hymn writer reminds us that little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. And the shepherd's rod really signifies that surrendered life. And it's a symbol of power. It's a symbol of power. I heard the story of a minister who came beside a man who was struggling in his Christian life. And he said to that man, he says, hey, why don't you give to the Lord? And that man said, well, he said, the dying thief, he didn't give anything, and he was saved. And the minister said, okay, then why don't you attend services at your church faithfully? He says, the dying thief, he was saved, and he didn't attend any services faithfully. And the minister, well, I suppose he was, but I have to remember to tell you, the minister said, that was a dying thief. And you're a living thief. The reality is today is that we are to live for Christ. We are to give him our life. And what we have really belongs to God. And as we surrender and give it to the Lord, then he blesses it and he uses it. And we notice in chapter 4, verse 3, an awesome miracle. Actually, three miracles. God gives a miracle of the hand and a miracle of the serpent. In the miracle of the blood. Look what the Bible says in Exodus 4 and verse 3. And he said, cast it on the ground. This is the rod. God said to Moses, take that rod and cast it onto the ground. And so he cast it onto the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And I would too. I'd be the fastest to get away. I don't like snakes. And I mean, if I'm throwing a rod on the ground and it becomes a snake, I'm finding the highest object I can jump on as fast as I can. Do I have an amen? Amen. Amen. There we go. We have an auditorium of people who are terrified of snakes. Bring in the snakes. No, I'm just joking. The Bible says, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. No way. I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night, all right? I know you never grab a snake by the tail. Now, this is faith right here. And the Bible says he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. You know, this miracle really does prove God's power and that God is in control. And I believe that this would be, we could call it a lesson of his calling. The serpent was a symbol, really, of the real enemy, the devil. And God would give Moses power to overcome the wicked one. That, yes, the devil is much powerful than you and me, but he's not more powerful than God. And God can overcome, and God can give us victory. And Moses had to trust in the Lord. We see also a lesson of his compassion in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 7. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as the other flesh. And the Bible describes Israel near to the heart of God. The bosom is a picture of nearness and love that God had on display for them. And Isaiah 40 verse 11, the Bible says, and he shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. But Israel was leprous, and they had a real problem. They had a real disease, and God had called Moses to free them, to help them, to deliver them through his hand. And this is the picture. God had a purpose, and God was showing compassion on this people. He felt their sorrow. He knew their pain, and God was going to use Moses to deliver them. And then we notice a miracle here, or a lesson of company. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 9, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass, if they shall not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. As the water would be turned into blood, it would be a sign that God is in control of everything, and that Egypt and Pharaoh could not defeat God. And so Moses is giving us his testimony. He says, listen, when I was worried, God provided power. He says, when I was wondering, God provided proof that he was in control and that he would truly help me. And when I was walking, this is number three, he provided a path. I want us to turn all the way to Exodus chapter 14. Would you turn there as we close out this message this morning? Exodus chapter 14. As we catch up to Exodus chapter 14, we notice in the 14th chapter that the children of Israel are afraid. The Bible says in verse number 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. We notice right away in this passage of Scripture that the Lord was directing them. The Bible says in verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, I love this, Moses quiets them down, and he said, fear not. Stand still. Stop trying to figure it out. We can't figure it out. I mean, let's just come to reality here. We're stuck. And unless God shows up, we're in big trouble. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. I love this. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. You know, God's direction in your life is always forward. Go forward. And God wants us to press on the upward way. God wants us to move forward. And God leads us to places in our life where there's no other place to go but to him. The psalmist calls it wit's end. You get to wit's end, you don't have any answers. You don't have any formula. You don't have any plans. And the only way out is for God to show up. And I want to say this, that's a wonderful place to be, to grow in your faith and to move forward and trusting God. And Moses said, stand still and God will show up. And we see in chapters 21 to 26, we notice Moses believing. Moses believing. I mean, some early historians would estimate about 50,000 horsemen were a part of this task force to bring Israel back, that Pharaoh had sent out 50,000 soldiers, trained military men, to bring back Israel to captivity. Do you know how many trained military men Israel had? Zero. The best they had were sticks that they picked up on their journey. They had no military experience. They were servants. They were slaves. They couldn't fight. They had not a chance. And yet Moses believed that God would show up. And he did. He did. The Bible says in Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and my song will be praise unto him. Friend, listen to me. Just keep moving forward in faith, trusting God. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 1, my son, forget not thy law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall be added unto thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You can trust God this morning like Moses trusted God. And I'm here to tell you that the God that Moses trusted in is the same God that we trust in today. And he can. And he can. What was his testimony? Well, his testimony was simple. When I was worried, God provided power. When I was wondering, God provided proof. And when I was walking, he provided a path. As we believe God and trust him, I believe this. He truly will direct our paths. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we're grateful for the opportunity that we have.